You get that feel, don't you, Eagles fans, that something big is right around the corner for this football team. It's already been a busy offseason as the Eagles have signed 6 players. The combine is ongoing, and free agency only a couple of weeks away. We welcome you to the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 6, with Dave Spadaro. My pleasure to be with you today. A great show for you. We're going to check in with some players and get their combine or non-combine memories. We're going to get some phone calls from the fans. And the idea of what's ahead for the Eagles, what do you want to see this football team do? We will get the latest from the Indianapolis Combine, Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson checking in. We've got 3 questions with defensive line coach Chris Wilson, who had the pleasure of coaching Fletcher Cox at Mississippi State. And oh, how Fletcher has grown up in the NFL. We'll also talk to Sal Palantonio from ESPN, get the national perspective on this football team. What does he think of Doug Peterson as the head coach? And Sam Bradford, does he come back and play quarterback for the Eagles in 2016? Sal Pal will be with us in just a few moments. First things first, though, another week, another Eagles veteran gets a contract extension. And this week, it was one of the great players on this defense, a leader off the field, and an iron man on the field. He made his first Pro Bowl in 2015, and he deserved it. Malcolm Jenkins gladly accepted the invitation to Hawaii, and then a few weeks later, just this week, signing a contract extension that keeps him an Eagle through the 2020 season. Let's talk to Malcolm Jenkins, get his perspective on this football team, this defense, and what's ahead for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's Off the Field with safety Malcolm Jenkins. You've had 3 contracts in your life, the rookie deal and the free agent deal and then this one. All different levels of stress for you?
Yeah, you know, rookie deal was zero stress at all. You know, I never asked my agent one time where I would be drafted, and really, I knew at some point I would be drafted. And, you know, where that went, you know, I was just kind of along for the ride. Once I hit free agency, that was, you know, bittersweet because I had one team basically say, yeah, we're not interested in you. But then another team, you know, right out of the gate, you know, expressed some interest and wanted me in their building. So it was bittersweet to leave a team that I won a Super Bowl with and then come to, you know, a new establishment. But, you know, I came here, had the best 2 years of my career, and without having to hit free agency and all of the unknown and insecurity, have a team reach out and say, we want to keep you here longer. So all of them have been 3 different scenarios and 3 different levels of stress, but all of have worked out for the good. You know, so I thank God for that.
Your 2 best years of your career in one system, now you've got to prepare for another system. Difficult for you to accept that or to do that? I mean, how do you feel about that?
I've been playing for different D coordinators in my entire career, from Greg Williams to Spagnuolo to Rob Ryan to Billy Davis. You know, so learning a new defense is really not that bad a deal for me. I really enjoy learning football, actually, studying the game. So I look forward to seeing different ways to, you know, play this game and hopefully helping everybody else learn it as well.
What do you hear about Jim Schwartz from your comrades around the league?
From what I hear, you know, his defense is actually really, really good. And he's a bright defensive mind, somebody who's obviously got a lot of personality, a lot of emotion, and that's fun to play for. And I think when you think about Philadelphia and the expectations for defense, I think he has the mentality that everybody's looking for. You know, he's going to be an attacking defense. He's going to bring attitude. And it really is all embodied in his own personality, you know. So it's not just lip service, but he lives his lifestyle like that. So I think it'll be fun. I think it's going to be a good fit. Really looking forward to finishing up the offseason and all of the moves and to see who we're moving forward with and just kind of start to chip away at it.
Do you think there are components to have this defense become a dominant one?
Well, I think, you know, any dominant defense has dominant players. And I think everybody's kind of waiting to see what happens with Fletcher Cox. I think he's going to be huge. But I think also securing a young talent like Vinnie Curry is going to be big. You know, I think everybody's excited to see if he can produce like we think he can, if put in a role that's, you know, consistent. And then we got a lot of other players that, you know, we think this transition to a 4-3 is going to help. I think Brandon Graham being on the edge and not having to worry about dropping into a pass coverage is going to be huge, where he can just, you know, cut it loose. Connor Barwin's versatile, can play wherever we put him if need be. And I think it'll be very simple for our linebackers as well, take some off their plate where they can just run and hit. You know, it's not about reading or anything. It's just you got a gap, take a gap, and you're good. So I think it'll cut some of our younger players loose. And then obviously just signing some of the premier guys that we want to build around is going to be, you know, priority.
why after years of point explosion and penalties on the defense and the offense is running wild, why all of a sudden is defense again the king in the NFL?
I think it's like anything, it's ebbs and flows. You know, there used to be these in-the-box safeties, right? You had big guys who were kind of like linebackers. They couldn't really cover the slow, but they hit and do whatever. All of a sudden, tight ends started getting more athletic, and now safeties are ex-corners. You know, it's just like anything. It's like chess. Once you do something, somebody's going to counter it, and that's just how the league goes. And so once these offenses got really, really, you know, crazy, and all of a sudden the offensive coordinator became glorified, now all of a sudden it's the defensive coordinators and who has the, you know, the sound of the systems. And most of the systems are the simplest ones. You know, you look at Seattle and Denver, those teams, they got a couple things they do, and they do them well. And so I think it's the wave now is trying to see, you know, how to secure those defenses, knowing that that'll take you further than just an explosive offense.
The Eagles also making a roster move on Wednesday, releasing linebacker D'Amico Ryans. We give him the very best luck and hope he finds a job in the NFL, one of the class acts that we've ever come across in Philadelphia, and just a terrific football player in his time as an Eagle. Nothing but the best for D'Amico Ryans. ESPN's Sal Palantonio has been following this football team for many years, and he feels like he's got the pulse of the team, of the city, and of the NFL. It's time for press coverage with ESPN's Sal Palantonio. Time now to bring in from ESPN our good friend Sal Palantonio, the national perspective on what the Philadelphia Eagles have accomplished and should accomplish in this 2016 offseason. Sal, good day to you, and thanks for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast. From your standpoint, Sal, your opinion of what the Eagles have done so far with Doug Peterson as the head coach, the coaches surrounding him, and then some moves to kind of make this roster core more stable for years to come.
Yeah, I call it back to the future, David. It's pretty clear that, you know, they try to hit the reset button, and rightfully so. I'm very impressed with what the Eagles have done overall. First of all, I have great admiration for Doug Peterson as a professional. I think he'll bring a sense of professionalism to the NovaCare facility, and I'm sure that's already happened from what I'm hearing from people. It's stabilized an unstable situation from the previous regime, and I think that was very, very important. And the second way that they've stabilized things is by rewarding core players with solid contracts and extensions that sends a message throughout the locker room that if you are loyal to the Philadelphia Eagles, you'll be rewarded for not only time served, but for high production. And they've got core guys that I believe are high character guys that they've brought back and invested in. And I think that's a tribute to where Jeffrey Lurie is taking the team right now.
Sal, let's start with Doug and a first-year head coach. There are some lessons to be learned, of course, along the way for every coach. What do you see as the major challenges for Doug?
Well, beyond the obvious, which is to solve the quarterback problem, I think the major challenge is he's got to have an identity offensively. And I think that's very important right from the beginning. And once he gets those players in there for their off-season workout, he's got to put his stamp on it, his personality, which is, here's the way we're going to do business. This is what I've learned that is successful under head coach Andy Reid in Kansas City. This is what I know works, and this is what we will do. I'm not going to coach the team for him, but I'm pretty sure that he's going to bring a sense of respect, mutual respect. And he's going to try to earn respect, and he's going to demand respect from players by the way he handles them and the tone that he sets. So that's the big picture thing. And then I think from the little picture standpoint, offensively, talking about that identity, I think this team needs to get back to some basics, what they do offensively. And what I mean by basics is basic NFL football, that you're going to create formation variation and mismatches in the way you generate offense, that you will be as complicated as you need to be, but also as basic and fundamental as you need to be to move the chains, to keep the offense on the field, to do the little things like convert on third down, have better field position, make sure that your defense is not out there as much as they were under Chip Kelly. So I think those are basic things and fundamentals that he'll try to establish and probably already has.
Sal, the coaching staff, you know, brings in some names that we recognize. Jim Schwartz overseeing the defense, Frank Reich, offensive coordinator, some former Eagles who are now coaches, Greg Lewis, Tim Houck. It appears to be certainly a more veteran crew than was here the previous three seasons. What is your opinion of the coaching staff that Doug and the Eagles have assembled?
Well, let's start with Jim Schwartz, David. I think that's the most important component because Reich and Peterson will run the offense together, and they are like-minded people in everything that they do. So I think from that standpoint, once they get the quarterback situation solved, they'll be on the right track. Having been out of the league for a year, running the wide nine or a variation of that in Tennessee and in Buffalo and in Detroit with varying degrees of success. He was very successful in Buffalo. Why? He had the horses. And I think right now, you know, he's looking at this defense and figuring out what is going to work and what is not going to work. My opinion is the defense has got to run through the middle again, and that means Fletcher Cox. And I think the team has got to make an investment in Fletcher Cox. In my view, you could make a pretty good argument that Fletcher Cox is the best player on this roster. You can make a pretty good argument that that's the case. And so they need to make an investment in him and say, we're going to run this defense around you. We're going to put you in a position and our defense in a position to make sure that you're highly successful. So if he's going to run some kind of wide nine, I hope that he doesn't put Fletcher Cox on an island.
You know, we all remember 2011 and the wide nine that the Eagles ran, not very successfully. I think Eagles fans really looking forward to seeing the right way to run that defense. And I agree that
Cox had a chance to be an absolute beast as a penetrating three-technique tackle in a 4-3. What did he have, 5.5 sacks and 509 snaps as a rookie in the 4-3? And that's really before he really learned how to play the game. I think he has a chance to be a major disruption in a very weak division where you can really do some damage. I mean, the Redskins have an okay interior offensive line. Giants have a very weak one. We know the Cowboys are good, so you got to attack the Cowboys in the middle of their offensive line to make the wide nine work. I think within the division, Fletcher Cox has a chance to be a truly dominant player.
Sal, there have been many questions about the structure of the front office, who picks the players, how the Eagles move forward here. How do you see this working out? What's your opinion of what the Eagles are doing with what they call the collaborative approach?
Yeah, I always like the collaborative approach from one standpoint, in that you're getting a lot of expertise from a lot of different vantage points. I think it's really important that the assistant coaches have input. I really think it's important that the coach and the GM are on the same page. And I think it's very important that Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson talking to one another. But by the same token, I think the quickest way to lose sight of who's responsible is not making anybody accountable. And so I'm interested to see who has final say. And it sounds to me like Howie Roseman will be the guy who will have final say here. He is the guy who chose Doug Peterson, not the other way around. And all the players that they've re-signed, I think all of them, were Howie Roseman picks. Correct me if I'm wrong, there might be one or two that are not. So I think he's really putting his stamp on this team, and I don't think there's any way of getting around it that this is Howie Roseman's team.
Sal, let's talk about the roster as it stands and how you see this Philadelphia Eagles team and where it needs to go. What are your three big kind of personnel questions / issues that need to be answered?
Well, it's sad to say after drafting a wide receiver in the first round last year, but I think that wide receiver is a need. I mean, we're going to go beyond quarterback because, you know, quarterback is sort of one of those amorphous things and it's somewhat unsolvable, you know, in the immediate. And there are a lot of question marks and we could probably spend the next 20 minutes just talking about the quarterback situation. I would say wide receiver, without a doubt. This team needs to be explosive. And Doug Peterson knows that. He's a smart guy. He saw what happened last year in Kansas City when Jeremy Maclin joined Alex Smith and that Andy Reid offense. They wound up playing in the second round of the playoffs. So, listen, with only one pick in the top 70 or so picks, where do they devote that one pick to? That number 13 pick. And where do they put their dollars in free agency? And you look right now, ProFootballTalk.com has a really good list of the top 100 free agents, and Sam Bradford is in the top, but so is Alshon Jeffrey, and there are a number of wide receivers and a number of good interior offensive linemen. And I would say wide receiver one, interior offensive line two, not sexy, but I think very important, especially considering what Doug Peterson wants to do with this football team. And then three, corner. This team needs corners.
And then let's go back to quarterback. What do you do, Sal? You play GM for a moment. What do you do with Sam Bradford?
What I do with Sam Bradford is I allow him to test free agency, and I figure out what happens next after that. And I think you say to Sam Bradford and to Tom Condon, listen, don't misconstrue this. We like Sam Bradford. And this is what Harry Roseman said on the podcast on the Eagles website last week. What did he say? We've all been clear that we like Sam, and we'd like to have him back. It goes then between all of us and whether we can figure something out that makes sense to both sides. How did I interpret that? Obviously, it sounds like he knows what Bradford and Tom Condon are looking for in a new contract. And it's just too rich right now for the Eagles. And it sounds like Condon has a number in mind, David, that's a little too high for the Eagles right now. So Roseman was sending Bradford and Condon a signal, I believe, that you've got to come down in price. And maybe Roseman has done his due diligence and checked out how Condon has been received by other front offices around the league, and maybe the price is just too high for Sam. And Roseman was also sending a signal to Eagles fans, I believe. We like Bradford, but we're not at total control here. So if we lose him, don't blame us. Blame the player and the agent for basically setting the price too high. And I think that's where things are right now, if I were reading between the lines, that they like Sam, but the price is too high. And the bottom line is this. I look at it like this. And I said it's back to the future, right? So go back to 99 when Andy Reid, you know, the mentor to Doug Peterson, was the head coach of the Eagles. He brought Peterson in. Peterson started 8 or 9 games. He drafted Donovan McNabb. We all thought it was way too late that he got to McNabb too late, but nevertheless, that was the program, and it worked out. They went to 5 NFC Championship games. And I think Peterson looks at that model and says, if I can have my guy in here, both as a backup and as a project, so I draft a quarterback and I bring in, like, Chase Daniel to be my Doug Peterson, and I bring him along and bring him into the system knowing that I can coach him up and then develop somebody behind him. May not be as fast as Donovan McNabb, but that's the model that I learned and can work. And I think that's what Doug Peterson might be thinking here.
Sal, last one for you. From a league perspective, we know that the salary cap continues to go up. Teams are flush with cap room. Perhaps in the next couple of weeks here, we see other teams follow what the Eagles have done and sign their own. Do you anticipate a deep group? I know you referenced the Pro Football Talk Top 100. When it comes to March 9th, will it be a free agent class that is deep and rich in talent?
Well, let's look at the top 10. Broncos outside linebacker Von Miller, he's staying with his team. Jets defensive tackle Muhammad Wilkerson staying with the Jets. Panthers cornerback Josh Norman staying. Broncos defensive tackle Malik Jackson. The Eagles are not going to sign a D tackle. Bills left tackle Cordy Glenn probably staying. When you have so much money to work with, the tendency and the pattern has been over the last couple of years as the cap has gone up to this astronomical level that you can keep core players and that you're not going to spend wildly on free agency, with certain exceptions like Dominick Sue down in Miami. There are always going to be some outliers. But most of the time, you're not going to overspend for players. So you look down this list of the top 100, where would the Eagles spend their money, or where would teams really throw money at a player? I think you could see Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins getting a big contract. I don't know about Sam Bradford because he's a little bit older and he's got an injury history. So I think when you look at high value, high ticket items, Broncos quarterback Brock Osweiler, I think it's pretty clear now that the Broncos have started negotiations, or will start soon with negotiations with Osweiler, that they figure they're going to have to cut ties with Peyton Manning because they're not going to want to pay him that big bonus that he is owed in a couple of weeks. So those are the kinds of outliers. But then there are others, like Jason Pierre-Paul, for instance. Nobody's going to throw a lot of money at him. But Browns right tackle Mitchell Schwartz, he could have a big payday. No question about it. So it goes as a case-by-case basis. I don't see the Eagles spending big money in free agency unless it's on a quarterback.
Sal Palantonio from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine.
It's an interesting event, David, because there are all the coaches and general managers are there, and there are a lot of deals that are done there and then announced once free agency starts.
We all look forward to seeing you, Sal. We thank you so much for joining us on our Eagles Live podcast here. And always good to talk to you, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thanks to Sal Palantonio, ESPN, for joining us on the Eagles Live podcast with me, Dave Spadaro. Head coach Doug Peterson at his first combine as a head coach, and he had a chance to meet up with the media, and he spoke about Sam Bradford's wishes to stay an Eagle.
You know, listen, Sam's part of the Eagle organization, and what he's done in the last half of last year, I think, has given him that opportunity to stay in Philadelphia. And listen, being in his shoes, being a player in his shoes, and you know, you have to want to be somewhere, and I think Sam wants to be in Philadelphia.
Chris Wilson has been coaching for 23 years. He's been a college coach, never been in the NFL until now. The Eagles hired him to coach the defensive line. He brings energy, he brings enthusiasm, and he brings a familiarity, having coached Fletcher Cox at Mississippi State for 2 seasons. Here are 3 questions with defensive line coach Chris Wilson. Chris, I know you've worked with Fletcher Cox. You've seen him from a young man in college grow into this all-pro defensive lineman. What has been the key to his success?
His consistency. One thing, he has a great work ethic. Not only that, he's an extremely good person. I think when you can combine those two things, it makes you pretty exceptional.
What was he like as a college sophomore? How raw was he? How unrefined were his skills?
Well, when he first came in, he was 240 pounds. He was the anchor on his 4x100 team, so a lot's changed. He's now a 300-pound guy, but I think his core values have stayed the same. He is a worker. He comes in to compete every day, and he wants to improve. He wants to be great, so that hadn't changed at all.
What will fans see from him in a 4-3 versus the last 3 years he's been that two-gapping 3-4 tackle end?
Well, I think they'll see him, you know, obviously, if we're getting this going the right way, playing in the backfield a lot more often, and I think that's something that will bode well for him and the rest of our group.
What do you make of, I know it's early, but what do you make of the rest of the line group, the people that you've been able to see from 2015, the game film?
So far, I like the guys, not only on tape, but, you know, I had a chance to visit with them briefly once I got in. Their intangibles, you know, communication skills, all guys, they're all pros. Connor Barron, a guy who's going to his 8th year, I mean, pro, you know, came in, he's working hard, and so I'm excited about getting a chance to work with these guys.
Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome.
Executive Vice President of Football Operations Howie Roseman caught up with the media at the NFL Combine and talked about the new look Eagles scouting department.
We got 2 guys who are basically on the top of our college scouting department, one handling the East Coast, one handling the West Coast, and then Tom on top. You know, Tom was on the road all fall. He was going to games. He was on top of all those guys. And then we brought in 2 guys who've done it as well here to help us out through the draft process. So, you know, we got a lot of information. We have 3,000 reports in the system. You know, for guys that we have in the first 4 rounds, the average number of reports we have is 4. So we have a lot of information. And what we're able to do is kind of go back, and we had our meetings, our pre-combine meetings, which were, you know, probably similar to meetings that sometimes we'd have in December, which was really kind of making sure our board was set. But we would do that when we'd have a new coach anyway. So I feel like we're in a really good spot for where we are going forward and have a good sense of what we're looking at.
6 players have been signed. A new coaching staff is in place. The Eagles getting ready for free agency. What do the fans think? Time to go to the phone lines to find out. On this Eagles Live podcast, episode 6, we now go to the telephones, Eagles fans out there, as the NFL Combine gets underway, free agency just around the corner. What is on your mind? Let's go to Austin in New Jersey, who kicks things off. Austin, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing pretty well. I'm just anxious to get the season underway.
I'm with you, man, but we got an off season to get through. So what are some of the big topics, the big issues that you want to see the Eagles answer in this offseason?
Well, I first want to start off by saying that I'm glad with the extension on Jenkins yesterday. I think that's a big part of the future.
Yes.
I think the 2 main things we need to work on is I really want to re-sign Bradford, and I think the draft is probably one of the most biggest things we need to concentrate on.
Okay, Austin, so I'm going to give you a chance to be the GM for a moment here. The salary cap expected to be about $156 million. So how far would you go to sign Sam Bradford?
I really like him. He's got a lot of potential. He showed great things this year towards the end of the season. I think probably like a four-year deal around there, probably 40-something million, I think.
I think the big question is, what does Sam Bradford's camp want? How much do the Eagles value him? They've got until Tuesday at 4 o'clock to decide whether they want to use the franchise tag on him. Would you spend more than, I don't know, $20 million a year on Sam Bradford?
I would not spend more than 20, no way.
And so then the question is, what does Sam Bradford think he's worth, or what can he get perhaps if he goes on the open market? Now, let's just play this part. If it's not Sam Bradford, Austin, as an Eagles fan, What are you thinking?
I mean, I really like the prospects coming out of the draft, but I mean, I think that where we're sitting at with our draft pick, it's kind of going to be tough because, you know, I think Carson Wentz is going to go early. You know, guys like that are going to go earlier in the draft, just like we've seen last year.
Right. Any other positions you want to see the Eagles address in free agency or the draft?
I want to see in free agency a wide receiver come in. I want to see another wide receiver with Jordan Matthews. And I think in the draft, offensive line, I think, is one of our big priorities.
I'm with you on that. Austin from New Jersey, thanks for starting things off here on the Eagles Live podcast, episode 6. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Now it's time to go up to Maine and talk to Steve, who joins us on the Eagles Live podcast. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Getting close to free agency here, man. What do you think?
Right now, I think Philadelphia just needs to save their money, be conservative with the cap, and make sure they're not trying to go out and just spend it all. Really, I would be more looking for maybe some under-the-radar guys and then build through the draft. It would be the best way to do it. Not only that, but also keep all their guys that they need to keep.
So I understand don't go crazy in free agency. Gotcha. But what about the quarterback position? Because you're going to have to spend some money, whether you are drafting a quarterback, whether you are re-signing Sam Bradford, whether you are going out and getting a free agent or making a trade.
Absolutely, and I agree with that. But the big thing you need to do is maybe sign Bradford to a one-year prove-it deal. You know, I know he had a great year last year during the second half, but at this point in time, he still hasn't really proved that much. I still think he needs to sign a one-year deal. And if not, you know, if he doesn't want to do that, maybe look to a rookie to go ahead and do it.
All right, Steve. So you would be fine if the Eagles went the rookie route, and then I think in a lot of people's minds, that would mean a rebuild for this football team. You'd be okay with that?
I would be, because as fast as these rookies are coming in nowadays, as we've seen with the Russell Wilsons, we've seen with RG3 in his first year, you know, we've seen these guys move in so fast that they're understanding these offenses a little quicker. Now, am I saying any of these guys in the draft are comparable to those guys? Not really. But, you know, if you get the right setup for the offense around them and they can get into the right rhythm, they would be fine.
Well, that's a good pay, Steve. Thank you very much for the phone call. Steve says, hey, if the Eagles go with a rookie, I'm fine with that. Steve, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
Nick in New York joins us on the Eagles Live podcast. Nick, good day to you.
Hi, Dave. I was on once before.
Glad to have you back. Thanks. How's everything going?
All right.
What do you think about the Eagles as free agency nears and the draft not too far behind? What do you want to see them do?
Well, I saw a report that DeSean Jackson could be a cap casualty to the Redskins. So if by any chance he got cut, do you think Philadelphia goes after him?
Well, and I got to be honest with you, I have actually thought about this. I like the idea of a speed receiver to go over the top, to take it off the defense, to clear things underneath for Aguilar, for Huff, for Matthews. You know, I don't know if DeSean Jackson would become available.
Yeah.
But because I think the Redskins, once they put RG3 in place and kind of makes him available, gets him off their salary cap, they'll be in okay shape. Then they've got to deal with Kirk Cousins. Would you want DeSean Jackson back? You know, I never had a problem with DeSean here. I personally never had a problem with him. I like the kind of receiver he is. Would I pay big money for DeSean Jackson? I'm not sure I would, because I've already invested a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick in the wide receiver position. And I'd like to see those players develop. But it is an intriguing thought, and I like the idea of adding speed to the wide receiver position. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. One last question. If DeSean comes back and Bradford comes back.
Oh, yeah. Look, I think they're going to be better than they were last year, simply because I think Greg Lewis is going to be a very meticulous, demanding, respected wide receivers coach. And I think that Jordan Matthews is a quality player. And I think Nelson Aguilar has a lot of talent that the rest of the NFL really liked last year. They all had him as a first or second round talent. I think Josh Huff is a diamond that you can really polish, but he's got to be more consistent, got to be more disciplined. DeSean Jackson comes here, somebody like that, has a big playability, and the Eagles need to make more big plays with this offense.
Aguilar could be the next DeSean, but obviously so far he still needs more, but it could happen.
Hey man, we'll see. Thanks very much for the phone call.
All right, thanks.
We've got Eagles fans from coast to coast. Let's go out to Los Angeles and talk to one of them. Matthew joins us on the Eagles Live podcast. Matthew, how are you?
Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Everything's great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, so let's talk about the Eagles offseason. What have you thought to date about this group, and what do you want to see happen?
I saw a couple good things. I thought defensively we were good starting off the season. Then, you know, things started to collapse a little bit defensively. And then offensively, there wouldn't have been so many drops I think we probably could have gone to the playoffs. But there were just so many drops from our wide receivers and stuff. So I like to see Sam Bradford back for sure. And I did see a report earlier today on Twitter, you know, saying that, I don't know, the Eagles might re-sign him. But we'll see how we go about that. But definitely, I think Sam Bradford should be back. You know, I see a bunch of writers, you know, on Twitter saying that he shouldn't and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But I think he should definitely be a priority once free agency starts. So, and then I think also extending Fletcher Cox is definitely important as well. But, again, he's under contract next season, so they don't have to rush it, you know, too quick, right? Because, you know, he's still under contract. So definitely love the re-signing of Malcolm Jenkins. Huge. I think that was an underrated move right there.
Yep.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see what, you know, what Coach Peterson is going to bring in. You know, Jim Schwartz going to the 4-3, and I think our future is bright. Out in Philly. So I'm excited. I can't wait.
Glad to hear the optimism. And I think it's interesting, you know, you see it, I see it, I hear it. Eagles fans are very divided on bringing back Sam Bradford. Agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I actually follow you on Twitter and I always see you answering questions about Sam Bradford and definitely see that 50-50 thing there. But I really, really think that bringing Sam Bradford is going to be so important. Just because, you know, I mean, if we go out and draft a rookie, I think that's taking a step back. Even though, you know, maybe in the future, I don't know, he could be a star. You know what I mean? But
right.
If we can get Sam Bradford back, you know what I mean? He still has so much to prove, right? And maybe draft, you know, a QB to be under him, you know, or maybe under him and Mark Sanchez, then I think that would be smart. But I think definitely our priority should be bringing Sam back, for sure.
Matthew, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it very much. And we'll see what the Eagles do. Yeah, we'll see what they do with Sam Bradford.
Yeah, exciting times to come, hopefully.
Thanks so much.
All right, Dave. Take
care. You got it. Each week on the Eagles Live podcast with Dave Spadaro, we try to bring you some great moments in Eagles history. Well, this time, we wanted to take a little different approach. The NFL Combine can be the best of times or the worst of times for college athletes hoping to play in the NFL. And we've got a little bit of each as we talk to three Eagles players about their experiences in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Jason, what was the combine like for you? I know it was an unusual experience.
The combine did not go as expected for me. Right as soon as the college season ended for me, I started training and you start getting ready. You try and, for me, I had to put on weight because I wanted to appeal to as many teams as possible. And I was already a light guy coming out. So I trained, I put on weight, I improved my strength, improved my speed. And I felt really, really good going into the combine. And as with the NFL, you know, you get hit with some adversity. And the first day I was there, I ended up getting really, really sick, like vomiting, throwing up. I was up till about 5 or 6 in the morning, almost went to the emergency room. Had to wake one of the medical staff people up early in the morning to figure out what was wrong with me. And they kind of told me I probably just got some sort of bug or something, so I figured I had the stomach flu. And I was up till 5 or 6 in the morning, then I had to be up again an hour or two after that to do drug tests. So I ended up getting like 1-2 hours of sleep that first night. Then finally, still sick the next couple days, didn't end up lifting weights. And then by a stroke of luck, the last day I was there, which is also the day that you do all the on-the-field drills, I started feeling a little bit better. And I was like, you know what? This is really the only chance I'm going to be able to show these guys what I got in front of all 32 teams. This will be the only chance I get at probably getting drafted, is to go out here and try and put something in salvage this week a little bit that I could. I went out there and I had a good day on the field for the most part. And felt good for about a week after the combine ended, but then all of a sudden it crept back up on me. And this time I actually went to the emergency room and they told me I had appendicitis. I had a perforated appendix and they needed to do an emergency appendectomy. So I basically had appendicitis at the combine and so it did not go as planned.
Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
Cody Park, you did not go to the combine. I imagine maybe at the time it was difficult for you to accept.
Absolutely. I just got done with the Senior Bowl. I won, you know, Specialist of the Week. My agent told me I'm probably going to be invited, and they ended up inviting the punter that was at the Senior Bowl instead of me. So there's only so many specialists I can go, so at the time I was pretty bummed. But in the long run, I ended up getting more private workouts because of it, and teams got to individually look at me. So I look at it as a positive right now, but at the time I was very bummed.
Did you watch the combine that weekend?
I did not. I had a few buddies participating in it. My punter from college was in it, and he told me all about it. He told me who did well, who didn't. And I mean, obviously some guys lose money there, some guys do really well and make money. So I think it could be really great for you or bad for you, but I heard the results and I felt pretty good that I could do better than them.
Malcolm, the combine is this week. Can you take us back to 2009 and your experience and what it was like?
That was a weird experience for me. I didn't run a great 40, which ended up, I guess, being a good thing because that's what helped me slip to 14, and I won a Super Bowl the next year. But it's a little bit of pressure. You know, I think everybody goes in and you think about the 40. That's all you got to do is run a good 40. But there are so much other things that really distract you from that. You know, you get all of these interviews that you're doing multiple teams in a night, every night. You got the weigh-in and the bench press and all of the other drills. All of this before you ever even get to the 40-yard dash. And so I think that stuff was all an experience in itself. Just the meetings, you know, you're going through 20 interviews in 2 nights, and they're all, I think, 5, 15, 10 minutes or something like that, and you're getting grilled over and over and over and over. And luckily, I kind of had a clean resume, but if you were somebody who had any kind of, you know, issues or you had anything on your resume that there was going to be questions about, you're going to answer that all day, every day. And I could see some guys' faces when they walked out of those rooms, it got to them.
How much can NFL teams really tell about the quality of a player from the combine?
I mean, I think it's all about seeing how you deal with pressure situations. They put you in these rooms, you got 10 coaches surrounding you, they're all grilling you, some are yelling at you, some are, you know, playing good cop, bad cop. They want to see how you handle it. Do you get mad? Can you keep your composure? With all the stress around the 40-yard dash and what the combine could mean for, you know, your career, they want to see how you handle that pressure. But I think they really learn more about you after the combine. When they come back, they go to your school, go to your pro days, they interview you, they bring you into a visit. Then that's when they really learn who you are. I think the combine is more performance-based. They want to see, you know, obviously the measurables, but how you perform under pressure.
That will do it for this week's Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 6. I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Brian Thomas, for putting this all together. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next Thursday with more. Our Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro. Have yourselves a great Eagles night.
EAT!